Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Shadharma Samstapako Lokanamita Karino Chibhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajanan Nande Namatvadiko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yoga Shri Jiva Gopala Go. I offer respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Shri Sanatana Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhat Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendent loving service of Radha and Krishna. So yesterday we read chapter 7, Evidence Regarding Devotional Principles. We went over the first one, something about it. Accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and this is the second one. Accept the initiation from the spiritual master and receiving instructions from him. The sage Prabuddha continued to speak to the king as follows. My dear king, the disciple has to accept the spiritual master, not only the spiritual master, but also as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Super Soul. In other words, the disciple should accept the spiritual master as God because he is the external manifestation of Krishna. This is confirmed in every scripture, and a disciple should accept the spiritual master as such. One should learn Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, with all respect and veneration for the spiritual master. Hearing and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam is a religious process which elevates one to the platform of serving and loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The attitude of the disciple should be to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master, then it will be very easy for him to understand the spiritual knowledge. This is confirmed in the Vedas, and Rupa Goswami will further explain that for a person who has unflinching faith in God and the spiritual master, everything becomes revealed very easily. This comes from a verse in the, which is also quoted in the Nectar of, I'm sorry, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, 145. Acharyamam vijaniyam nava manite karichit namartya suyabudyaita sarvadeva mayo guru. That one should acharyamam vijaniyam. Vijaniyam means to know, and mam means me, and acharya. One should know the acharya as myself, just like me. Just like me means Krishna says that savasya chaham ridhi sannivishto matak smritir jnanam aponam cha. That Krishna is already in everyone's heart. And from him is coming remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. 5,000 years ago, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and that same knowledge is recorded by Sanjaya, Vyasadeva, through the mercy of Vyasadeva, and Sanjaya's knowledge is written down in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. There's no difference between the Bhagavad Gita as Krishna spoke it 5,000 years ago, and Krishna is speaking to us within the heart as the Super Soul. Therefore, one who repeats the message of Bhagavad Gita, then he becomes Krishna's representative. And then anyone who follows the instructions in Bhagavad Gita, according to Bhagavad Gita, apichad sudarachara, apichad sarvapevya, sarva vyakpapakrita maha sarva gyanapane vaiva vrijinam santarishasi, that this is the boat of transcendental knowledge. Api sarva piche sarvebhyo sarvapebhyo sarva vyakpapakrita maha sarvam gyanapane vaiva vrijinam santarishasi. Api chet asi pa bhavya. So, of sinners, there is, even if one is the most sinful of all sinners, if one is situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, one will easily be able to cross over the ocean of material miseries. As we have already gone over, that the root cause of everything is avidya. We may have many reasons why we think we have problems, but the principal reason why we have problems, the only reason that we have problems, is that we're in ignorance. The primary ignorance, the basic ignorance, is that we're identified with this body. And on the basis of bodily and mental identification, therefore we have sinful desires. Sinful desires means, instead of wanting to serve Krishna, we have a tendency to serve our mental speculation and our sense, the pushings of the senses. Therefore, the solution is, instead of engaging in papam, or sinful activity, one has to engage in Krishna service. Therefore, the spiritual master is one, as it says, vacha vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udra pasta vegam, etan vegam, yovishaheti dira, sarvam apimam prativyam sasvisha. And one who can control the urge to speak, generally speaking, everyone wants to speak like the frog, croaking. That is, gramyakata. In India, the ladies, they go down to the river to do their washing. Maybe nowadays in the cities there they have washing machines, but most of the ladies still live in the villages. And they go down to the river to wash their clothes, and while they're washing the clothes, one lady turns to another and says, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" And the lady goes, "No, I haven't heard. What about so-and-so?" "Oh, I can't tell you, sorry. I promise I wouldn't tell anyone." "No, no, you can tell me. I won't tell anyone else, I promise." "I promise I wouldn't tell anyone." "No, I told you about so-and-so, remember?" "Oh, that's right. I'm so, oh, yeah. Well, he did this and then she did that. I can't believe it." "I knew it was going to happen." "I told you." So this is grinding the top. Sometimes, I remember I used to go home to my parents and they say, "Oh, why don't you do something for fun?" And then they tell me who died in the family and who's in the hospital. Yeah, do something for fun. Yeah. Like all my other relatives. Therefore, one should speak something that's important, and the most important thing is how to get out of bodily mental conception of life and go back to the spiritual world. That's the most important topic of conversation. Therefore, those who are speaking Krishna Katha, they're said to be engaging their tongue properly. As it says at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, not the beginning, in the fifth chapter of the first canto, where it says, Yad vichas chitpapitam hariyari yasho vigat parvitam parigriha parishit tadvayasam kirti u shanti manasa nayatraham sa nirvantyu shikshaya. And those words that do not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead are said to be like unto places of pilgrimage for the crows. People will not appreciate this if we tell them that most of their literature is for the crows. Crows, they're very enthusiastic for the garbage. If there's nice fresh garbage, they become very enthusiastic, very enlivened. And they all fly there, and especially the new crows. The old crows, they get a little tired of the old garbage, the same old garbage. But when there's new garbage for the new crows, Then they become very enthusiastic. And according to the Bhagavatam, most of the literature is meant for crows. Because punak punas charvita charvanana. It's simply chewing the same thing over again. The same eating, the same sleeping, the same sex life, the same defending. It's the same thing over and over again, but they just try and make it a more glossy cover. But you open it up, it's the same thing. They have magazines dedicated to showing you all the different beds that you can sleep in. The different colored beds, the different, mirrors next to the bed. And people buy these magazines month after month to see how other people are, what kind of bed they're sleeping. As if there's something, you sit in, you go into one bed and you get this chill up and down your spine because you're going to have such a fantastic sleep tonight. You're going to be so enlivened during your sleep. Just go up and down, chills up and down your spine in ecstasy because you're in the purple bed tonight. And eating, although it looks good on the cover when you just like on the airplane, people, it's amazing how they eat the food. I mean, I haven't eaten airplane food maybe 30 years or something. But I remember eating it one time on the airplane, and it tastes exactly like foam rubber. Maybe a little softer, a little easier to eat than foam rubber, but it has the same taste as foam rubber. And yet, on a long flight, sometimes I take flights for 12 hours and they have like 3 or 4 meals. People eat everything. If they could, they'd probably eat the plate too. I guess they feel they're paying for it. Might as well take advantage of it. Although there's no taste. And afterwards, of course, then they have to take wine and they go to sleep. But it's the same old thing over and over again. And, of course, everyone knows sex life. It's glorified. So many magazines. They're selling billions and billions of dollars. But after all, it's the same thing over and over again. And defending, putting money in the bank, insurance, and everyone dies anyhow. We can see one video with Prabhupada speaking to the devotees, and in the back they're going, "Rah! Better! Better!" And Prabhupada said they're shouting so loud because they want to stop death. But that's not going to save them, all these shouts. I forget, what is the shouts they make? Some kind of shout for karate. Ha! That's it. And they're all going, this instructor's going, and then you hear, and probably just laughing. So they're trying to stop death, but this will not stop death. This will not stop their problem. The Yamadutas come, they go, so it's the same thing over and over again. But they're glorifying it as something new. But it's actually the old crows, they know it's the same old thing. But the new crows think, it's going to be different for us. Every generation we can see this is the same thing. We're going to change the world and we're going to enjoy ourselves here. And they had to find something. My generation, it was the war in Vietnam. Nowadays, it's the global economy or something. They have to feel like they're doing something new that no one ever did before. They're actually going to change the world. They're actually going to enjoy it. And then 20 years down the line, the people who are the revolutionaries, now they're the executives in the big corporations. So it's the same thing over and over again. But one has to, Yasmin prati shlokam abhadavat yapi, namanyanantashi shankitaniyat, Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sarava. On the other hand, those words which are meant for those transcendental words are of a different quality, which are meant to bring about a revolution in this world's misdirected civilization. Such words, although they may be imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified persons who are thoroughly honest. In other words, transcendental knowledge can actually purify us by hearing about it, although it may not be literally so nicely composed. But because it aims at enlightening us in spiritual awakening, understanding that we're spiritual souls and how to engage in this spiritual soul and come to a higher platform of consciousness, they actually bring about a revolution, a real revolution. They change us from simply slaves of the senses to loving service to Krishna. Therefore, the spiritual master's business, or anyone's business, spiritual master means that simply delivering the same message and acting according to the message that's coming down through the simple succession. That message is that we're all Krishna's servants. And that if we engage our words, we engage our, as there it says, vacha vegam, manasa, the mind, krodha vegam, the anger, jiva vegam, the tongue, udara, the belly, and upasa, the genitals, in the service of Krishna, then gradually become conscious of Krishna. And therefore, spiritual master means what one who is teaching others how to engage their senses in Krishna's service, senses includes the mind, as well as doing it oneself. So anyone who's doing that can be taken as a spiritual master. Spiritual master means instrument for Krishna. Doesn't mean that one has to do something extraordinary. It simply means that one has to become an instrument for Krishna. Nimitra matram bhava sava sachin. In other words, whatever we're doing, try to do that for Krishna. Not that we have to do something extraordinary. But we simply have to do whatever we're doing for Krishna. And then we become the representative of Krishna. Just like this little girl Saraswati, who is Shyamasundara's and Malati's daughter, when she was 2 years old, she probably used to use her as an example of a preacher. She'd simply walk up to people and say, "Do you know who Krishna is?" And if they say no, she'd say that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada said that this is perfect preaching. Not that we have to say some elaborate explanation to people how Mahavishnu is the source of Garbhakshai Vishnu and the lotus flower sprouts from his navel and he expands himself as Shri Dakshaya Vishnu. No, simply that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's perfect preaching. Therefore, in that way, the spiritual master is accepted as God. Not that the spiritual master is God, but because he represents God. Therefore, he's considered accepted as good as God. But anyone who represents God is as good as God. Or to the proportion that we're representing God, that we become as good as God. Just like as long and as close to the fire an iron is put, then it becomes hot like the fire does. Similarly, the more we become engaged in Krishna's service, the more we become free from the modes of nature, the more we become just like Krishna. It is not that we're not already like Krishna, but now we're covered, just like iron naturally attracts magnet, or iron fillings are naturally attracted by a magnet. But if the iron fillings are rusted, then they don't become attracted by the magnet. So the attraction is natural. It is not that you have to add something to the iron in order to attract it to the magnet. No, simply we have to purify it of the rust, and then automatically be attracted to the magnet. Similarly, every living entity is naturally attracted to Krishna, and similarly we have to purify ourselves from the three modes of material nature by the process of devotional service, and then we become naturally attracted to Krishna again. So it is not that there is some elaborate process or secret process that one has to explain in order to become qualified as Krishna's representative, some secret knowledge that we have to know. Simply, we have to become convinced that by engaging in unalloyed service to Krishna, then we become purified and gradually elevated to our original position of Krishna consciousness. And here it mentions the Srimad Bhagavatam as the basic principle of spiritual advancement. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanus Tadama Vrindaranam Ramne Kinchit Upasana Vrajavadu Vargena Vakalputaha Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Kumaratamaham Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhuridam Matamidam Tatraraya Napara. That Krishna is the cowherd boy in Vrindavan who's the son of Nanda Maharaj, and Vrindavan is his home and is as worshipful as he is. And to learn how to worship him, we can follow in the footsteps of the gopis who are completely absorbed in ecstatic feelings towards Krishna. And to learn how to come to the platform of the gopis, we can study systematically Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we can reawaken our prema, our dormant love for Krishna. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And all the great devotees and acharyas follow in this process. So here it says, the attitude of the disciple should be to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master, then it will be very easy for him to understand spiritual knowledge. So satisfy means to basically follow the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Satisfy means that the devotees, they give some instructions, like chant Hare Krishna. We can see Prabhupada, he was such an elevated devotee, that he was simply happy to see people chanting Hare Krishna. They didn't have to do some elaborate service, although he was certainly happy to see elaborate plans to spread Krishna consciousness, especially printing books and distributing them. These are the things that made him satisfied him the most. And as Rupa Goswami confirms here from the Vedas, yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaiti kahita prakashante mahatmanaha. That one who has unflinching faith for the bona fide spiritual master and for Krishna, then easily all the imports of the Vedic knowledge reveal. In other words, we have to have someone or some devotees that we have faith in, that if we follow their instructions, we'll become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, what will we do? How will we do anything? Any one of us can read the literature and try to figure out what we like, what we don't like, and only do what we like and avoid what we don't like. But that may not advance us very far in devotional service. Therefore, we have to have faith in the goal. We have to have faith that my goal is to wake up. Wake up to Krishna consciousness. To get out of this dreamlike state that we're in now and come to the platform of unalloyed love for Krishna. So we have to have faith that there's such a thing as that. Of course, it helps to experience it. Faith can't just be blind. But unless we have some faith in the goal, then why would we go through tapasya, some austerity to achieve it? And unless we hear about the goal, then how will we know anything about it? Just like we may not have been to Hawaii. I don't know how many devotees here have been to Hawaii. But if we hear about the glories of Hawaii, maybe something awakens within us to go to Hawaii. But just because we have a desire to go to Hawaii doesn't mean we're in Hawaii. We have to work in order to buy a ticket to go to Hawaii, to Pasya. And then if we do that, we get the money, then if we really want to go to Hawaii, then we'll buy a ticket, and soon we'll be on the airplane to fly over to Hawaii. If we want to go back to Godhead, similarly, we have to hear the glories of going about what Godhead is, who Krishna is, and what his transcendental abode is, and then we have to make the effort to do what's necessary to go there. And then if we get all the required merits to do that, then we have to utilize them to get on the plane, go back to the spiritual world, or back to the spiritual platform of consciousness. But not simply by, being a nice person or whatever. that I automatically become eligible to go back to Godhead. I have to work a little bit for it. Not very difficult. Chant Hare Krishna, dance a little bit, take prasadam, do a little service, and we'll go back to Godhead. Not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to break bricks for, 30 years. And after you break bricks, then you have to ground them into powder. And then you have to eat the dust. And if you can do that austerity, then we let you back to Godhead. No, that's something difficult. He's not giving you some difficult austerity. Dancing, chanting, and feasting. So what else can Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? What else can Krishna do? What easier process can he give us to go back to Godhead? So we do that, and gradually, by the mercy of the previous acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can get Krishna's mercy, and in that state we can understand things correctly, experience things correctly. So I think I'll stop here. Are there any questions? Yes.
You were saying that all the difficulties that we're going to see is because of him. But also, you know that also a few devotees go through difficulties. But the difficulties are...
Different types of difficulties I'm referring to, and not the external difficulties. It doesn't really matter for a pure devotee externally what's taking place, because internally the pure devotee is situated on the spiritual platform. For us, we're always in difficulty, but we think we're doing all right because we're in ignorance. We're always suffering. What's that? What language is it?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How can an amplifier catch a radio wave?
Yeah.
Why buy a radio? Just get an amplifier. How do you
do all wires.
Appears to be difficult. Actually, we're always in difficulty because we're going through old age, disease, and death, the threefold miseries, fourthfold miseries. But we're thinking we're doing all right as long as there's enough prasadam and it's not too cold. So we think all these poor, pure devotees that go through so many problems, but we're doing all right. We're suffering like anything because we're in ignorance. They don't suffer. It doesn't matter what happens to them because they're not in ignorance. Ignorant. In other words, just like if you had a dream that a tiger is biting you, then you feel quite inconvenienced, especially, his hot breath. Tell him, why don't you brush your teeth at least? You're going to eat me at least, Get a clean tiger to eat. Your habits are abominable. Anyhow, a tiger's eating us. So we feel quite distressed. But when we wake up, we're not at all distressed by the fact that last night a tiger was eating me. No one would take it seriously. But one who's awakened in Krishna consciousness doesn't take seriously this dream-like existence that we're under now. One realizes it's just a dream. Because one is situated, actually awakened to one's real identity, one's engaged in one's real activities in the spiritual world. So there's no distress at all in that platform. But for us, there's nothing but distress. This whole material world is meant for distress. So the pure devotees, they show us how to remain in Krishna consciousness in any circumstance. But we could, shouldn't really think that they're under distress.
No, nothing
at all. They're not even conscious of what's going on materially. In the same position as the super soul. Anything else? Yes.
Chewing the
chew. Well, we may do it in a certain consciousness that may seem like that, but for one who's more advanced in spiritual life, then it becomes nitya nava nava yama. It becomes ever fresh. Just like we're chanting Hare Krishna, so try and chant any other words. You know, try and chant the cinema song for 30 years and see if you can do it every day for 2 hours. So it may seem that we're eating the same old prasadam, but we can see the devotees every day, they don't seem very bored. If you want to find out how many temple devotees there actually are in the temple, just go to the prasadam. You meet people that you never saw. You're in the temple for 3 years and go to prasadam one day and say, oh, hi, how are you? Where are you coming from? I live here.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just a little late for prasadam every day, that's all. I never saw your program. Yeah, I'm always here at prasadam. So, no, generally devotees are always enthusiastic about prasadam unless they really get sick. You know, the devotee's about to die. He's not there for prasadam. As far as sleeping goes, no one seems to mind sleeping every day. But one who's advanced in Krishna consciousness, really advanced, very, very advanced, then even during sleeping they don't forget Krishna. But that we can't, that's not so. That's a very elevated platform. It's Krishna that makes everything fresh and new, because Krishna is always fresh in you. And the relationship he has with the devotees based on unalloyed love is also always fresh in you. Confirm. I think it's about time to end. What's that? Maya has a tricky way of sneaking. Yeah. Okay, you can turn it off. Grantharashi Nectar Devotion Kidai Shila Prabhupada Kidai Gaur Premanande.